Sunday Surefire Podcast. It's your host this week, Aaron Downtown Brown. I got the one, the only, Ethan Weaver with me. Ethan, how we doing?
I'm doing well. I know you're doing well because your Kansas City Chiefs are playing for the Super Bowl in a few days here.
That's true. That's true. We're back again. I guess I'm starting to get a taste for maybe what you went through, you know, being a Patriots fan. I think that's
it's a great feeling, isn't it?
It's interesting. It's definitely interesting because I was definitely used to the losing years of the Chiefs, and you know, the Chiefs not living up to expectations and constantly letting me down and going, you know. But I think when we went from like worst to first to the year hiring Andy Reid, it's kind of been positive ever since.
Oh yeah, and me and the commissioner would always joke around when the Patriots were the Tom Brady and Bill Belichick led Patriots. We always used to joke around that week one was the AFC Championship game because they pretty much got there every year, and it looks like week one is starting to become the AFC Championship for the Chiefs. There, I mean they've been in the Super Bowl what, four of the last 5 years.
Yes, four out of five, and you know, I know with this one, it's a rematch. So it was Super Bowl 58, you know, kind of rematching the 49ers again. I know, you know, we kind of lived through it as a Chiefs fan. We kind of just, you know, after losing that Super Bowl against your Tom Brady, I know a lot of those players on the Chiefs took that to heart, and that's what's going to make this one interesting. As much, you know, I know we'll get into it in a little bit, but you know, we might have seen, you know, two sides of the coin on this one, where, you know, Chiefs kind of ripped out the 49ers' hearts, and a lot of those players are still on that team, and I know they haven't forgot that, so we're probably in store for a pretty good game.
Yeah, it should be a great game. I mean, if Jimmy Garoppolo can complete that pass, I believe on the right side on third down, late in that game, the 49ers probably win that, because I believe if my memory serves me correct, the Chiefs were up. I mean, the Niners were up like what, like 10 points or something like that in the second half, and then the Niners were just need to make a couple more first downs, and the Chiefs probably would have ran out of time. But obviously, Jimmy Garoppolo sailed it, and it gave Patrick Mahomes, the Chiefs, a chance, and they obviously took advantage.
That's right. That's right. They had the infamous, you know, I think that was the year that, you know, the defenses were kind of all about celebrating in the end zone after interceptions. They would run to that camera. So I know the Niners did that after they were up, I think, 21-10 in that game. They got a pick and ran and kind of posed in front of the camera. And that's kind of when the game kind of went south for the Niners. So that was a few years ago. Once again, I know that they're back, and I think as we're about to talk about, it should be pretty fun. In regards to this episode today, we're going to have a little mixture for all of the fans here. We're going to kind of just talk a little bit, kick us off with headlines of the Super Bowl, kind of what we've seen leading up to the game, talk our game flow. Of course, we're going to want to work in the fun bets. You know, I know there's a lot of fun bets that are flying around during every Super Bowl, so we'll try to touch on that. And then we'll end it on our famous DFS matchup on talking captains, who's going to be our captain in this Super Bowl game. So we'll go ahead and kick it off, get that agenda started now. And starting with Super Bowl headlines, I kind of alluded to, and as we were mentioning that, you know, both of these teams, you know, even preseason, they were the two Super Bowl favorites. As far as favor to make the Super Bowl, you know, both have very strong players, you know, from every line, every aspect of the football team. So, you know, leading it on both sides, you got Mahomes and Purdy, where, you know, they have good success stories. But then, you know, not only just at the quarterback position, you got Pacheco, CMC, Kittle, Kelsey, Bosa on the defensive front, Chris Jones for the Chiefs, Fred Warner at linebacker, and Nick Bolton. So you really have, you know, it's interesting when you try to compare who's got the upside, you know, as far as who's got the better squad in those aspects, and it's pretty close, honestly. So Ethan, I'm not sure what you think there. If you got any headlines or any particular matchups you're excited to see for this upcoming Sunday?
I'm just excited to see a good game. Hopefully it goes down to the wire. I'm sure you want your Chiefs to smoke the Niners, but I just don't see that happening. But no, I'm just excited to see two really good teams go up against each other. I think Chris McCaffrey has a chance to have a big day, considering the Chiefs have been so good against opposing wide receivers, especially opposing number one wide receivers. I think there's opportunity for McCaffrey on the ground. It'll be interesting to see if the Chiefs can put together a complete game offensively. I know they've been one of the worst, if not the worst, second half offensive team in the league this year, and that almost bit them in the butt last week when they scored 0 points in the second half against the Ravens. Luckily, Lamar Jackson and the Ravens couldn't do anything to capitalize on that, and that is the reason why the Chiefs are in the Super Bowl. But it will. I think both these teams obviously want a fast start. The Niners kind of had a slow start against the Lions. They were down 17. The Chiefs kind of had a fast start against the Ravens, but didn't finish. So we'll see how these two teams come out. What's in store. But I'm definitely excited for the game.
Yeah, no, I agree with you there. And I know we brought up I kind of kicked it off just talking players, but I think you alluded to it. I may have set this up a little bit that potentially want to talk about the coaching staff. You know, I think in these huge games, I think it's fun to kind of look at, how the coaching strategy is going to play out. Right. So I know usually most Super Bowl teams have pretty good players. I would imagine. Right. But sometimes it does come down to scheme. And I know we were talking Patriots years too, where you can probably attest, we have some Brady Super Bowls and we have some Bill Belichick Super Bowls as well. So I think, this one, it is interesting to look at. Maybe that I want to kind of key in on is what's Spagnuolo going to do? I know the Chiefs defense is, they're actually selling the In Spags We Trust shirts right now. They're kind of know that defense has kind of led them through thick and thin this year. And I want to see how that stacks up against Kyle Shanahan's offense. And I know Purdy's had a nice quick start to his career, but I want to zone in on, what Spag's going to do, what's he going to shake it up. And I know he's really into throwing those exotic blitzes and whatnot. So very curious if he can kind of throw them off in that way. That's kind of what I'm hoping for as a Chiefs fan. But if not, I'm kind of looking forward to a back and forth game. If it's not just In Spags we can continue to trust.
Yeah, no, I am very excited to see Brock Purdy in this offense go against this Chiefs defense. As I alluded to before, the Chiefs have been very good against opposing number one receivers, which is why I'm a little down on Ayuk going into this game. The him being like that number one outside guy. I know it kind of varies week to week, but if I was going to say who their number one was, I'd say Ayuk. Obviously, like I said, it ranges between Debo and him, but Ayuk's usually typically playing that number one, like alpha X role. But that's where I think the ancillary pieces of the 49ers offense, I think, need to step up for Brock Purdy and the Niners if they're going to move the ball consistently against the Chiefs. Sneed's just been great all year, and that secondary's been very good. So I'm very interested to see kind of how Shanahan schemes up his offense to go against this good Kansas City defense. I think they're going to have a heavy dose of McCaffrey. I think you're going to be able to run a little bit on the Kansas City Chiefs and McCaffrey. This is why they traded that capital to get him for these big moments. I think they're going to lean on McCaffrey. I think Purdy's going to lean on McCaffrey. So it's going to be fun to watch.
Agree. So I guess, we can jump right into game flow and right into just Super Bowl kind of just predictions in a way, kind of looking at it where, San Francisco is coming in as a favorite team. They're getting 2 points against Kansas City. The over-under is at 47. So I know with some of the recent Chiefs games in particular, it's been in the low 40. So still not too high of an over-under, a little above average at the 47. But I think Vegas knows it. They got it pretty close right now, and I think they're seeing both, a lot of flows of the bets coming in on both sides of the spectrum there. I know a lot of people don't want to bet against Mahomes, and it's always fun to take the underdog. But yeah, San Francisco's been a tough team. So, Ethan, I'm gonna put a little bit of the weight of the world on your shoulder here, because I don't like I'm a little superstitious talking about my Chiefs. So, I'll let you kick it away a little bit. Just what do you think of the -2 Niner spread, and then the over under 47? How do you think that game's gonna turn out in that respect?
I think anytime you're giving the Chiefs plus odds on the money line or giving them points, I think it's almost a no-brainer to take the Chiefs in that case. I should have been betting the Chiefs all playoffs, especially when they were plus money against the Ravens. I kick myself when I hammer in that, but it's just so hard to bet against Patrick Mahomes. I am going to be on record to say I am rooting for the 49ers. I just hate betting against Patrick Mahomes. So I think the Chiefs, and did you say +2.5 or +2?
It's moved a little bit. It was 2.5. I think it just recently moved to +2 right now.
Yeah, because I see on DK it's +2. At +2, it's -115 odds. The money line for the Chiefs is +105. And I think I would take the Chiefs +2 and be pretty confident in that bet. And I would probably lean under 47.5 just based on kind of what the Chiefs have been doing throughout these playoffs and kind of throughout the season. It's the Chiefs have a good offense, but it's not the high flying offense of the Tyreek Hill days. As I said before, they struggle in the second half. They put up 0 points in the second half against the Ravens, and we've seen them struggle in the second half all season. So I don't see the Chiefs just completely flipping the switch and putting a complete game together. The 49ers do have a pretty decent defense. It is the Super Bowl. Obviously, emotions are high. A lot's on the line. So I think I would lean under 47.5 and Chiefs +2.
Yeah, I think that's, I kind of like the sound of that. I think a lot of the Chiefs games have overwhelmingly been the under this year. Every time I think Vegas kind of wanted them to score more, they just consistently do not, right? So I think that kind of went back to the, as you review their season, they kind of worked through a little bit of turmoil with drops and not being able to move the ball like they used to, but it's kind of turned into Chiefs wanting to just take control of the game. So I think that's the thing, is I think the Chiefs are really good at being able to control the tempo of the game, and what it ends up comes down to, if they end up losing, it ends up coming down to a couple big plays where they can maybe blame it on themselves on a maybe not converting something right, or I think they do let teams in it pretty close. So I like how close the spread is as far from a betting perspective. Makes it tricky, but I think Vegas is another one where they're kind of dead on. So I'm with you there. I think it's going to be like a 24-23 game, and it's almost like flip a coin whoever you think is going to have the 24 in that respect. And me as a Chiefs fan, I think it's I'm hoping it's the Chiefs coming up with that 24. But to your point, the +2, I think Mahomes is all but I want to say all but one game close to being undefeated in games where he was the underdog, right? So to your point, he can always keep his team in the games, right? So I'm kind of right there with you as far as how I think the game's going to turn out as well.
Yeah, because you need both teams to score 24 points to hit that over with the 47.5, and I think that's definitely possible. I mean, through the three playoff games the Chiefs have played, they've hit that mark twice. They scored 26 against the Dolphins. They scored 27 against the Chiefs, and they, like I said, they only scored 17 against the Ravens. But they did hit that 24 plus point threshold two of three games. I do think you can move the ball on the Niners. But I know the Chiefs also have a very good defense. So it's, I hate betting unders. I think that's betting for no fun. So what I would probably do is take an alternate total and bring that line down a little bit and probably parlay is what I would, is it what I would
there
do.
There you go.
to be a little safer.
I like that. I like the sound of that. That's probably a good, you know, that's a good way of thinking of it, where if it's not fun to bet the under, just take that alternative spread and, yes, and exactly. that way you're still taking the over. I like that.
Yeah, exactly. Throw into a four-leg parlay and let it ride.
Right. Yeah. I like that. I definitely do. So I think that's you know, in the aspect of betting, we'll kind of go right into any prop bets for the game. I know this is kind of where we've kind of specialized this year a little bit. I know with, you know, us concentrating in fantasy and DFS, I know a lot of my bets this year being centered a little closer towards prop bets. So Ethan, I'll let you kick it off. Do you have any prop bets that you're zoning in to in this game?
Yeah, do you want to start off with like the kind of cool novelty bets and then kind of get more into the traditional props?
Yeah, actually, let's do that. How about you kick us off with a fun one first? We'll talk novelty bets, and I guess for any fans that are not aware, I'm sure most of everyone is probably aware of all the crazy Super Bowl bets, but you know, you have the traditional coin toss bet that everybody just throws a bunch of money on, heads or tails. You got the national anthem, which I think you alluded to. They're starting to shy away from that for people researching the singers performance rehearsals, right? So it gets pretty serious on these novelty bets. So what sticks out to you? What do you think is fun in this year's section as far as novelty goes?
Yeah, so I was looking at like the Super Bowl specials, the novelty bets and things like that. There wasn't there was a few that there's actually a one on DraftKings for the Swifties. So that has a lot to do with Taylor Swift, basically songs and like one is like blank space, Travis Kelce to score an octopus. I don't even know what that means. Is that like a goose egg or something?
No, octopus, it's been a recent trend in betting lately. That's where, so Travis Kelce would have to score a touchdown and then get the 2-point conversion because the octopus has eight legs.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Or tentacles, I guess. So yeah,
you learn something new every day, right?
Yeah. I don't know why it's been such a big trend lately, but it's been a lot of funny bettors to saying they'll do a parlay in like three games. We'll say, there will not be an octopus, but the odds are like plus minus 3,000. So like some people are betting like $200-$300 just to win like $11, which that's why it's kind of funny, I guess. But but if that happens on that bet, that makes it all more funny. It makes it kind of exciting. So if your player scores that touchdown, like, oh, don't go for two, don't go for two. So that's kind of the octopus, I guess, part of it.
It makes sense now. I was like, I was going through these bets, and like, what the hell is an octopus? Right.
I guess it would really make you sweat if you see him lining up for two, like, oh crap, don't throw it to the same guy again, or the running back or just scored.
That reminds me of something that I saw online. It was in terms of like you mentioned, like, hey, a lot of people would just bet like, hey, no, he's not, because like the odds aren't very good, obviously. To score the 8 points there. So if you put money on no, obviously you're not going to make a lot, but there was like this professional bettor in the Super Bowl between the Seahawks and the Denver Broncos. I believe they put like $200,000 on no safety in a couple of different sports books. And then if you remember that the first play of that game, it was a safety.
I think there was even there's a first play prop every year too that says first play of the game, and one of the odds is safety too, so you can even bet on. And that is the craziest. That was, yeah, like
what
one degen- of the
craziest what, ones. What degenerate gamblers put money on that?
Right, exactly. Yeah. So, either, what do you have in store for us this time around?
Yeah, so a couple of different ones that I saw. Nothing like crazy. But I like the time of first possession. So I feel like when it comes to the Super Bowl, a lot of times you don't see in the first possession teams go down and punch it in the end zone. Usually there's a lot of emotion. It's I don't know. I feel like typically you don't see long sustained drives. So I kind of like the under 3 minute and 15 3 minute and 15 second time of first possession. Yeah, especially if a team that's obviously projected a quick three and out there. I just feel like sometimes the emotions are high and you sail a couple of throws or whatnot, and I think there could be a quick three and out for the offense. I also liked this is a little like deja vu. Will Super Bowl 54 repeat. It was Travis Kelce, 20 plus first quarter reception yards, and the odds are -110. I thought that was a interesting one because I do think Kelce's going to have a big day, and 20 plus yards in the first quarter is only a couple of catches, or if not one catch. So I did like that. So those are like the nothing crazy, but those are the kind of the Super Bowl special bets that I saw that I kind of liked. The novelty bets, there wasn't a ton. I did think for under the novelty props, it's Scoregami, and it's yes +2,000, no minus 10,000. And Scoregami is the will this Super Bowl end in a score that's never been seen before. So that's obviously a very tough bet to hit. So I'll let you name a couple, and I'll let you touch on mine.
Yeah, I like those. I've just so I don't forget them. I like your under first possession one a lot because I think to your point, I think if you look at it, there may be a good chance either team could have a three and out, and if not, if they don't have a three and out, I think they try to get a lead quickly, right? So I think they try to a lot of times teams script their first possession. They already know like the first 10 plays of the game, and they're kind of betting that they're all going to work. So I know you do see that sometimes with the Chiefs where they just come out and they get all these chunk plays. But all teams try to do that too. So I really like that play, that under in the Super Bowl, because it's almost so many stakes on the line. They're really trying to get that lead to start the game. So I really do like that one. That one sticks out of my head that you brought up. And if I speak a little bit on the novelty props, one that kind of stuck out to me that I thought was kind of fun was the jersey number props.
Oh, I
And
saw that. I saw that.
I didn't really see those before. And the more I looked into it, I was like, oh, I kind of like this one. This isn't a really interesting one because I'll get into it when I talk my regular prop bets, but you got high and low jersey numbers of your position players, right? So you got like Isaiah Pacheco, he's like love jersey number 10, right? You have Christian McCaffrey, he's jersey number 23.
You
But
need
then you had
Kelce to
the
score a touchdown.
exactly, yeah. If Kelce scores a touchdown, it's 87, right? So I gravitated towards that one. I thought that was a really fun one. So what we're talking about here is the combined touchdown score of all the jersey numbers. So any player who gets a touchdown, their jersey number, if you add them up, and the over under on that is 121. So I actually like the over a lot in this one, because as you're talking about the between the two teams, you do have both tight ends that Kittle and Kelce may be big difference makers in this. Kelce is obviously number 87, and Kittle at 85. So if they score a touchdown each, you already hit your over easily, right? But yeah, I was looking at a couple other combinations. If Kelce scores, if CMC scores, and then Deebo Samuel scores, you get 129. So those are also players that may have a good chance of scoring in the game. And I think that's kind of a fun one to look at. So I like the over on combined TD jersey numbers because I just whether you're a Chiefs fan or a Niners fan, you kind of have the same similar scenario where if one of the tight ends score, you're kind of in good shape, right?
You're
So
cooking.
that you're cooking, right? So that's my novelty prop. I'll let you talk or touch on that real quick, and I'll go into my regular prop bets after that.
No, I like that one a lot, actually. I definitely you got to hammer the over there because that's the fun thing to do, like we said. But no,
Right.
I do like the over 120 and a half, 121 and a half. Especially, obviously, I mean, if you have four touchdowns scored in this game, I think that goes over relatively easy, especially if you have a Kittle or Kelce touchdown. I also think they kind of the number that they use for the jersey number of the first touchdown score, it's at 22 and a half. So that gives you Kittle, Kelce, and CMC. So that's those are pretty good odds right there. I might have to hammer the over 22 and a half.
There you go. Yeah. See that the more you talk it out, that's how fun that I found that bet being as well. So
No, that's cool.
definitely a
That's
fun
cool.
one. Definitely a fun one. But this kind of is a nice one. My regular prop bets kind of go back to I'm gonna really just zone in on this tight end game. As far as just regular betting goes on the prop side, I actually like Kittle's over in yards and receptions. Kind of looking at how that offense is ran in San Francisco. Kittle ends up getting 20% more targets versus man coverage, which is probably primarily what the Chiefs run a lot, right? Now, not all the time, but they're in man a lot. And then actually if you look over on the KC side, I like Kelce's over as well. I like his over 60 prop because on the flip side, Kelce gets 20% more targets versus zone defense. So it's almost a nice prop to zone in on for both tight ends, but for two different reasons. But it's funny how that ends up being almost the exact same ratio there, where 20% more targets versus those defenses. So I'm zoning in with Kelce and Kittle and their over yardage for that point is my kind of my first one. I got one last one, but I'll let you speak on the Kelce Kittle bets there.
No, I like those a lot. As I stated earlier, I think guys like Kittle, and not saying that Kittle's a secondary piece, but I think the Chiefs do a really good job against outside number one receivers. So I think that may neutralize my guy Ayuk a little bit. So I think it's going to force Purdy to kind of throw to guys like Kittle over the middle, Debo, and then maybe check down McCaffrey. So I do like that. Even though Kansas City's actually been pretty good against the tight end position, I believe their opponent ranked fourth against the tight end. So we'll see if Kittle and Brock Purdy can ball out against the Kansas City Chiefs. But I do like where your head's at. And then obviously with Kelce, you said over whatever 60. I have him at on DraftKings. I think his over under that I saw was set at 70 and a half, and I'm taking the over. I think that's what the NFL wants to keep their Swifties happy. I think Kelce has a big day in the Super Bowl. He's had a unbelievable playoff run. I wish he was playing this good for my fantasy team throughout the year, but he decided to turn it on when it mattered. So, yeah, he's just been absolutely crushing it. Just the last three games in the playoffs, he had seven receptions for 71 yards, five for 75, and 11 for 116. So obviously over 70 and a half in each of those. He's at 10, 6, and 11 targets. So Mahomes is obviously looking his way early and often. So I definitely like that over for Kelce. And for other props that I like, I liked like I said, I like Kelce's. And then I did see one for Mahomes. It was Patrick Mahomes 15 plus rush yards and 215 plus pass yards at minus 140. It was a yes or no. I think yes on that. I think 215 is kind of right around where he's been. I know he's burned me a couple times when I had him at 225 over, but and he usually hits like 220. But I do think Mahomes is going to have to throw the ball a little bit, obviously, to beat the 49ers. So I did like that. And then I kind of like Rashee Rice over 65 and a half. Rashee Rice and Kelce have been Mahomes' go-to guys. I think I'm going to lean on them as well in the betting space. So I do like Rashee Rice 65 and a half over as well.
What? You like Rasheed Rice? I've never heard of that before.
Yeah, no, he's one of my guys now.
I like the sound of that. I like your Mahomes two prop parlay too. And yeah, so I think we're kind of all in agreement there. My last one is funny. You brought it up a little bit. There's a little bit different way you can bet on it too. So you mentioned just players over. I think it was it rate? Well, this one is a race to 20 reception yards or more. So if you go down on the receiving props, there's a first player with over 20 receiving yards or more. And I actually like looking at both tight ends for that if you want to kind of hedge on either one. But obviously, I'm going to go on the Kelce side. But if you can get that at a plus 550 for Travis Kelce to be the first player with 20 or more
Wow.
receiving yards.
That'd be the first
So,
play of the game. Boom, 20
yeah, it
yards.
could, yeah, exactly. It could be an easy first drive prop right there. So I think that's kind of an exciting one. And
Oh,
then
our
kind of same
parlays are going
goes
to be
for
looking
Kittle.
really, really nice this Super Bowl there. We're
Oh, for
going to have some
sure. For
mean parlays.
That's right. But that's the fun thing about Super Bowls. You can come up with fun parlays and even the straight bets. Like there's so many unique bets out there. It's fun just to bet. This is probably the funnest time of the year to actually just have straight bets out there too. Because yeah, you can have so many variety
Oh yeah, just get
of
the
them too.
bankroll out.
Right. Yeah. So I think hopefully that did its justice there and the betting world. There, of course, we'll be talking a little bit on the Discord too, and I know Kamish is gonna drop his as well. So, stay tuned. Join the Discord if you want to join the talk Super Bowl night over bets and what if you're confused what to bet. We'll definitely can chat it up there too. So, we'll kind of touch on the kind of close it out here, and this kind of going back to the DFS matchup. We definitely want to cover all of our fronts here with betting and going back to DFS too, with the fantasy season over. So, going with this captain's game, I know it as we talked about, there's so many people to pick from. Ethan, who are you going with as your captain in DFS this week?
I'm gonna go with Taylor Swift. I mean Travis Kelce. I'm sorry.
There you go.
I just think the stars are aligning for Travis Kelce to have a big day. I think that's what the NFL wants. So Taylor Swift wants. That's what the Swifties want. So Travis Kelce, obviously, we already alluded. We're hammering his over first to 20 yards. And just to go back to that 20 yards prop, mine was basically a little Super Bowl 54 repeat itself. I guess Kelce must have had 20 plus first quarter yards in Super
Oh, got
Bowl
it.
54. So it's like Travis Kelce 20 plus first quarter reception yards, and it's minus 110. I think, like I said, that can happen relatively easy. Mahomes, like as I said, has been kind of looking at Kelce early and often, and I think those scripted plays, those first 10 plays, I think a lot are going to go to Travis Kelce. So I like Travis Kelce a lot in this game. I think for all the people that think there's an NFL script, what would be a better script than Travis Kelce winning the MVP of the Super Bowl and Taylor Swift being on the field after to celebrate that? So I'm all in on Travis Kelce.
There you go. There you go. I mean, shoot, they might even get a engagement proposal. That would
I
just
don't know. I can't.
break records there.
What are the odds on the engagement after? Can I get on? Can I get on those odds?
That would be a funny one. I definitely don't mind that one. I actually went with my other approach that I know you kind of jumped me on.
The
But
Aaron Downtown Brown approach.
that's right. So sometimes the way I look at these lineups is you got to kind of stick out and try not to go with the popular opinion. And what I try to do here is I actually went from the bottom of the list and actually stopped once I felt that someone would be a key contributor to the game from as far as the cheapest goes. So I ended up stopping initially at CEH, at Clyde Edwards-Helaire. I ended up not pulling the trigger and putting him as my captain. I know he's had a couple decent plays in this playoff run towards the end of the season, but
Keyword is plays.
That's right. Yeah, exactly. Just a few,
But not games, plays, not
hand,
games.
yeah, plays, not games. So, I actually kept scrolling up, and I went
Thank
back to
God.
my.
Thank God.
So I actually went back to my boy that you may still give me crap over, and that's Noah Gray, actually.
Oh
So,
God, not Noah Gray, the goose egg
and
again, the big goose
no,
egg.
yes, the big goose egg guy from what week 18. So it's interesting though. I ended up stopping at Noah Gray because he's still getting involved. Baltimore, he had 5 targets. Buffalo, he had 3. So not we're not screaming targets here, but in that Baltimore game, all everything that was on the line with that Baltimore defense. I think what we're seeing with this Chiefs, what's working now with this Chiefs offense is that they're putting guys on the field that they feel they can trust a little bit more and more of their veterans. So I know that they do have a little bit more trust now with Rice, with MBS, with Justin Watson and Noah Gray, right? So you kind of see, that big touchdown that Kelce had to open up in Baltimore. Noah Gray was running a route that kind of set that up. I was wondering what do they get the two confused, the two tight ends that kind of look similar, but were they covered? Because they were all over Noah Gray on that route and Kelce ended up coming down with that touchdown. But yeah, like I said, he did come down with 5 targets. I'm really just looking for, I know sometimes they use him to in short yardage, or maybe if it's a goal line play, or maybe just red zone. I really just trying to look for a lucky touchdown, maybe a breakout, a nice catch or two. But ultimately, he's got to come down with a touchdown. But what I'm really banking on there is I got all the stars outside of Noah Gray. I got your Mahomes, your CMC, your Pacheco, Kittle in the lineup by doing that too. So I'm really just kind of banking on, hey, can Gray actually score in the game? And if so, I know everyone else on my lineup should have a pretty decent game. So doesn't always work, but when it does, usually in pretty high in the money when that happens. So I went with my boy Noah Gray again.
No, I like that. I do like that strategy. Obviously, if it hits, unfortunately, with your previous history with Noah Gray, it's hasn't been so great. But no, I do understand the process. It allows you to get pretty much a full slate of studs in your lineup. My thought was, I was like, hey, who do I think is going to score the most fantasy points? I thought that was Travis Kelce. I was like, I think 1.5 times Travis Kelce's points, that would be worth more than trying to like hope and pray that somebody that's 1200, 15, 2000, 2400, in terms of cost would hope to score 8 to 10 points or whatever it may be. So I thought I could maybe get away with those cheaper options in my lineup and hopefully they can score a touchdown or have a decent day. But I definitely understand the process because all you need is no greater score, like 8 to 10 points, score a touchdown, and you're looking pretty good.
Yeah, like I said, I know what I'm up against, but then again, you gotta remember so many people are betting on the Super Bowl, so it's like yeah, I gotta try to stick out a little bit with this one. But definitely, if you wanna try to be it depends. I'm curious who your down and nitty gritty guy is in your lineup. I know you may have to get a cheap guy in there depending on how you set your lineup, but then again, like I said, I think they have so many stars, you can't fit them all in the lineup. So you gotta weed out who you want and don't want there.
Oh, definitely. No, I definitely went down and dirty in it with a couple of these picks, and I actually have some money remaining, so I may tweak it a little bit here and there. But I thought Kadarius Toney actually at 1400 was an interesting case. He's been a full participant. I believe he's going to be on the active 53. I mean, can you and your sources confirm that, Aaron?
Yeah, I wish I had a little bit more insider sources, but I've heard what I think what may happen is I think he may at least return a couple punts, But if he provides that same energy as he did last year against the Eagles, and he gets a couple electric punt returns, they may leave him out on a few plays too. So I love my boy Tony, but he's definitely let most of Chiefs Kingdom down this
oh,
year.
Oh, so definitely.
Definitely in the doghouse. But I mean, he is always an interesting one where he can make some pretty electric plays. But yeah, I unfortunately skipped him. I wanted to get my boy Justin Watson in, but
no,
I was
that's your
600.
Guy. Yeah,
I know.
That's your guy.
I was $600 short on my captain. I didn't want to down, or what I felt was a downgrade in any of the other guys I had in there. So I'm like, all right, I'll go with my boy Noah Gray.
Yeah, essentially, I can still fit like a guy like I was basically contemplating Justin Watson, Tony, CEH, and like Mecole Hardman, like those guys for my last flex, because I actually do have Juwan Jennings in my lineup as well. He had 5 receptions against Green Bay for 61 yards. But obviously last 2 weeks ago, whatever, against Detroit, he only had 1 catch. But as I alluded to before, I think the ancillary, those second tier, third tier players for the Niners are going to have to come ready to play, because the Chiefs have been so good against opposing number one wide receivers. So I think a guy like Jennings is a sneaky play who can potentially pop off. So that's why I kind of like getting a guy like Jennings in there. And like I said, my last flex play will be a Tony, Justin Watson, CEH, Noah Gray type.
There you go. All right. Well, we'll definitely see. Should be a fun one. If anyone wants any more advice or has more questions just based off that dialogue, definitely reach out to us and all the social medias. I know this is the end of the 2023 season this upcoming Sunday, but we definitely have a jam-packed agenda for the off season. I know we kind of gave everybody just a little taste of what's yet to come, talking dynasty, but as we know, we got free agents, and we know there'll be some fun trades this off season too. So we got a whole bunch of fun stuff to talk about this off season too. So definitely tune back in next week. Hopefully I'm in a good mood and you hear from me as another Super Bowl champ, but we'll definitely see. So, I guess as we like to say here to close everything out, peace.